Well, it's good to see you all this morning. I really hope you have been enjoying the studies that we have been working with, and enjoying the book also, Purpose-Driven Life. I think it's Rick Warren has just done an outstanding job with that, because I feel so good about it in the sense that it is so grounded biblically, and I just love that. And I know he uses different translations, which are good too. That kind of stimulates us to rethink, you know, some of the old, you know, ways we've sort of just looked at verses. But get your Bibles out and underline them and look at them in a new, fresh way. But next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the purpose-driven life. And as I was thinking about Palm Sunday, I kept thinking, here, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem and amongst the excitement of the hosannas. And I'm thinking, you know, in a real way, Jesus now is fulfilling God's purpose for his life amidst the cheers, you know, of the people. But we need to recognize also that God has a purpose for our life. And as we think about riding into our Jerusalem, into our homes, into our neighborhoods and so forth, you know, we realize we have a purpose for all of this. God has called us for that purpose. And my hope and prayer is that you're discovering it and you're excited about it. And now you can really help me a great deal, because next week, like I said, we're going to share some testimonies and do a lot of different things. But you can help me maybe through email or a note, maybe on your registration slips or something. You just might want to indicate some ways in which you have been blessed. Maybe you've discovered what worship is all about, or something about the body life, the fellowship, and maybe discovering some things about God's purpose and plan for your life. But write it down and get it to me early this week so I can put some of this stuff together for Sunday. We can celebrate together. But as I was going through this whole series now of purpose-driven life, I've come to realize that you realize now that God has called us for a purpose. And the fantastic thing is that it's not only for right now, God has created us for eternity. We forget that sometimes. All we think about is right here and right now, but God has prepared us for eternity. And what really struck me is the fact that these purposes that we're talking about, these are purposes that we will be sharing with for eternity. For eternity. Except for one. You know, we're in eternity. Now think about it now. And God wants us to understand what our purpose is right now, so that we are really prepared for eternity. Because you know something? We'll be worshiping God for eternity. Think about it. That intimacy with the Lord, relating with Him, sharing with Him, that's going to be for eternity. And God is saying, hey, listen, I want you to experience that now. And also, we're going to be together as a family of God for eternity. For eternity. And God is saying, look, you know, for that fellowship, break down the walls. Learn how to relate together, because you're the family of God. You're my family. Learn about that now. Also, for eternity, you know, we're going to have a whole new character. You know, God's going to totally complete us in the conforming into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. But He's saying, look, I have shaped you for eternity. Now, find out what your shape is, you know. Discover how to transform your life through the power of the Holy Spirit and let it become real now. Because it's going to be that way for eternity. And you know something else? You're going to be serving the Lord for eternity. You're going to be serving Him. And the Lord is saying, look, make that a part of your life right now. Now, those are things that we will be doing for eternity. But you know something? There's one purpose that we will not do for eternity. And that's mission. That's sharing Christ with non-believers. Because you know, once we get to heaven, there's not going to be any non-believers to share with. We'll be sharing with each other, but we won't be sharing the gospel with non-believers. So the Lord is saying to us, look, you and I have a fantastic purpose right now, right here, that will make a difference in the lives of people. We were made for mission. In fact, Jesus made it very clear in John chapter 17, verse 18. Jesus makes this statement. He says, as you sent me, talking to the Father, into the world, I have sent them into the world. And then a little bit later, he actually solidifies that in John chapter 20, verse 20. Jesus 2021, it should be. It says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That's our mission. Now, how that's supposed to be played out is in our key scripture verse this morning. If you have your Bibles, open it with me to Acts chapter 1, because here Jesus is about ready to ascend into heaven, and he's giving his disciples and he's giving all of us last-minute instruction. He's saying, look, this is what needs to be happening. Okay, Acts chapter 1. Now here Luke begins. He says, "In my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, spoke about the kingdom of God, and on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command." All right, this is really important. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Interesting. They want to know more about last things, you know. They want to talk about, you know, talk about the kingdom of God coming again. You know, how are you coming? And pre-trib, post-trib, you know, they have probably had all these big discussions. Jesus says, you know, that's not even important. I don't want you worrying about that. I'll tell you what's important. Look at verse 8. This is what's important. He says, verse 7, he says to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates of the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Now, as you look at your outlines this morning, this is what I want you to write down. I want you to write this down. My fifth purpose is to share the good news, and add this to it, about Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Share the good news to people who need to hear, who are non-Christians. We were made for mission. Don't lose sight of that. We were made for mission. You see, everything that we have talked about, everything that we have read, everything we've been experiencing in terms of a purpose-driven life, we realize that God is now saying to us, look, after you understand what your purpose is, after you understand what it is to have a relationship with me, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. I want you to pass it on to people. I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to be contagious Christians. I want you to be able to share it with people. This is good news the whole world needs to hear. And you were made for that mission. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. You know, there's a word for this, what we Christians, you know, call this whole witnessing thing. It's called evangelism. Evangelism. And Jesus spells out the strategy for evangelism. This is our key verse, 1:8. He basically says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Now watch the strategy. In Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. That's God's strategy. And when I think about that particular verse, what it says to me is, yes, this is the sequence. This is how it ought to be happening. Starting in Jerusalem, and that's what whole God, the book of Acts is all about. Starts in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Judea, Samaria, and then uttermost part of the earth. But you know, that also applies to us in our own personal lives as well. You see, our Jerusalem basically are the people that are closest to me. Our Judea, Samaria are people that are a little bit different. They're a little far off, but yet we have contact with them. And but then the uttermost part of the earth, we also need to be concerned about people throughout the whole world. Now let's walk through that for a moment. Let's just talk about this strategy, because if we're going to complete my mission, if I'm going to complete my mission, then I must, number one, share with those in my world. Share with those in my world. That's the starting point. In fact, it's kind of interesting as you as you read the Gospels in Luke chapter 8, verse 39, Jesus, heals this man, this demon-possessed man. And he got all excited about Jesus healing him and so forth. And then 8:39, this man wants to follow Jesus. This man wants to go on the circuit. He wants to be the, you know, go right along with Jesus and, you know, visit city to city and share his testimony. And Jesus, this is what Jesus says to him. He says, "Return home. Return home. Tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over his town how much Jesus had done for him. Now that's our job. But there's a problem. We don't do it. Why don't we share? Why don't we get involved in evangelism? I want to share with you 8 reasons why we don't share our faith. Watch this.
Brad, I've got a friend who's not a Christian. And yeah. I was just hoping that maybe you could talk to him a little bit, see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, I could. But yeah. I think I have a better idea, Shane.
What's that?
Why don't you think about sharing your faith with him yourself?
Yeah?
Shane, what is the problem, man? Get a grip!
Brad, you don't understand.
What are you talking about?
I can't do it.
You can do it.
I can't do it.
You've got to do it.
I can.
Why can't you do it?
Well, Brad, I've been giving it some thought, and
yeah?
And there's 8 reasons.
8 reasons?
8 reasons.
Why you can't share your faith.
Why I can't share my faith.
Well, tell me about them.
Okay. You know, the 8th reason why I can't share my faith is, well, I'm afraid I might get beat up.
Excuse me, guys. You guys heard about Jesus?
Jesus?
Yeah. I don't want to hear that! Hey, Jesus loves you guys, man. He really does.
Reason number 7, I'm afraid I won't make any sense.
You know what? I don't care if you have 5 kids. You're fired.
Hold on a minute, Mom.
Excuse me, sir. Jesus, have you heart what? The clouds and, cheese porridge what? Hot?
I'm sorry, I don't have time.
There's in between.
You know what?
What am I doing? I don't know what I'm saying. I knew this was going to be this way. It's always this way. Reason number 6. Well, I'm afraid I might get made fun of. Hey, so have you guys, you heard about Jesus before?
Jesus?
Yeah.
What the heck? You know.
Look at this.
Are you a Christian?
Such a loser, dude.
Nice jacket.
Dude, nice haircut. You cut that yourself?
Yeah,
what is up with this, man?
Dude? Hey, I like those pants, I got this dude. Jerk those over like here trying to tell me about boy. Jesus. Listen to this door.
Yeah, go away.
I can't believe it. Look at him.
Reason number 5 is I just don't know how to get started. That's all there is to it. Fourth reason why I'm afraid to share my faith is, well, I'm afraid I'm going to be a bad witness because I do stupid bad things sometimes.
What do you think you're doing? I'm sitting here trying to smoke my flippin' cigarette. You come walking into me like you got some kind of problem. You stupid jerk, you son of a crud. Take a hike, man.
Excuse me, brother. Have you heard about Jesus?
The 3rd reason why I'm afraid to share my faith is, well, I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing and send somebody to hell.
Shane, I want to be forgiven of my sin.
I want to receive Christ.
Dude, that is awesome, man. There's just one thing I want to confirm to you first.
What's that?
That's the Buddha, you know. He was the sacred cow who ate the golden tablets, and he doesn't believe in birthdays.
You're right. You're a wise man, Shane.
Towards Mecca?
This is awesome. Hey, guys. Guys, I got some good news.
None of that's true.
Guys, listen to this. No! Stop!
The second reason why I don't share my faith is I don't want people to think I'm a religious nut.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Jesus.
Jesus?
Yeah.
I know your type. You're one of those religious, right-wing, fanatic, Nazi, baby-loving, anti-choice, homophobic freaks.
I don't think so.
Oh, yes, you are. You are so judgmental.
What about my self-esteem? What about my feelings? Nobody cares.
And the number one reason why I don't share my faith is because I don't know enough. And what if somebody asks me a question and I don't know the answer? Then what? Then what do I do?
Shane, I'm ready to receive the salvation.
Cool.
But I just got one last question.
What's that?
How does transubstantiation correspond with the ecclesiastical movement to eschatological events?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. He's going to hell. He's going to hell.
Well, you know, Shane, thanks for sharing those reasons so vividly, but, you know, they're not really reasons. They're excuses.
I think you're right. Let's go.
I know I'm right.
I think that's often the case. Often we just use excuses, you know? And I just think about the experience that we've had here in the last several weeks. What a wonderful thing it would be for us just to be a witness, to be able to share with people, you know what we've been discovering? I've discovered what it is to have a purpose-driven life. You ever think about the purpose for your life? And just to be able to talk to people about that. In fact, I put a little outline here on your bulletins, because if you came to somebody, basically said, you know, have you ever wanted to know what your purpose is in life? Let me just kind of draw it out as a baseball diamond, so you can find out what the spiritual base is for your life. And you know, firstly, if we go to first base, it basically means believe that God made you to love and to live for His purposes. In other words, that's what worship is all about. To love the Lord and to live for His purposes. And you know, the wonderful thing is God wants you to love Him back. And the trouble is we just haven't been doing that. That's where it starts. You go to second base, basically, it means admit. Admit that you've been living for yourself. And really, I realize that's where I've been. You know, I've been living for myself. And I realize God's calling me to be a part of a family, His family. But there's a barrier between, you know, between God and me. And basically, I realize it's sin. And I realize that sin needs to be forgiven. That's why God sent His Son into the world to die on the cross for me. You know, and that restores me into God's family. And then the third base is switch to living for God's purposes in your life. And basically, I know I have to make a change because I've been living for myself. I need to be living for God's purposes. And when I begin to live for God's purposes, my character begins to change. When I invite Him to come into my life, I realize I have a new presence and a new power. See what begins to happen? You begin to share with people. You share about worship. You're sharing about the family of God. You're sharing about new character, new purpose in your own life. And then you basically say to them, you know what I have to be able to do and what you need to do as well? And that's home plate here. That means express your desire for Jesus to be the leader of your life, to be the leader, the Lord, the boss. That means be available to serve Him. Say, Lord, life is about You. I want to serve You. Now, it's amazing. I mean, all you're doing is sharing what's becoming real in your own life, in your own experience. That's what it is to be a witness and sharing, you know, Christ in your life. We've got to learn to do that, folks. It's up to us. Rotary clubs don't do that. Lions clubs don't do that. Kiwanis clubs aren't going to do it. We're the ones that have got to share that good news. Now, why in the world should I take the time to do that? I tell you, because God cares about lost people. That's why. God cares about lost people. And if God cares about lost people, You know something? We've got to care about lost people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If God loves people, we've got to love people. We've got to be able to share with people in my world. But there's something more. Now that you know you're made for a mission, this fifth purpose of your life, you have to begin in Jerusalem with those near you in your world. But Jesus doesn't quit there. Jesus also said there was such a thing as Judea and Samaria. I've got to dare to reach beyond my world. Dare to reach beyond my world. That's another area. And I've got to be able to love people enough to say, you know something, there's people that I don't know, that I'm not that well acquainted with, but how can I reach them? How can I reach them? Well, you dare by stepping beyond your comfort zone. That's where it has to be. And the trouble is what often keeps us from really reaching out is because we want to remain comfortable. We don't want to risk. We don't want to be in an area where, well, we just don't feel that good. But you know something? That's what it means to rely upon the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why God has given us his Holy Spirit. And I think the trouble sometimes with many of us is that we have many beliefs, but we lack the conviction. You know, Jesus made a statement one time. Jesus said, you know, many will say, Lord, Lord. But he says, I'm not concerned about those who say, Lord, Lord. I'm concerned about those who follow and who are in obedience to me. That's important. You know, I think about this, but you know, if you or I had a cure for cancer or a cure for AIDS, you know, and we had that cure and we kept it all to ourselves, that would be criminal. And yet we have God's way in whereby sinful people can come into a right relationship with him for eternity. We can't keep that to ourselves. We've got to be able to share with people, and we've got to be able to seek to build bridges, not walls. And then, as I think about that, Jesus commanded us to go. And when you realize that word go, you can't spell God without knowing you've got to go. You can't spell the good news without realizing that, you know, there is go in good news. And you can't spell gospel without go. So you've got to understand there is an issue there. We've got to be able to go. And the second thing is you dare by reaching out to people who have needs. So important. People who have needs. There's people all around us who have needs. And I'm so grateful that in a variety of ways, we and our church have been really establishing that kind of ministry. The Impact Ministry, what a powerful ministry that is becoming. Smurf Ministries, reaching out to young moms, single moms. A variety of ways which we can draw out to people and reach out to them. But as I think about these things, there's the last thing we need to be concerned about as well. And it's not enough just to share with those in my world. It's not enough just to dare to reach beyond my world. If we're going to believe in Jesus, we're going to be faithful to his call, then we've got to care about the whole world. We've got to care about the whole world. You know, Jesus basically wants us to be devoted for his devoted followers. He says, if you're my devoted followers, I will make you fishers of men. And the thing is, we've got to watch out. If we're not fishing for men, are we really following him? Because you know if you're following him, this is on his agenda. We've got to have a care for the whole world. Well, your caring, first of all, then, involves being mission-minded. Be mission-minded. I'm so grateful that, again, we had our Missions Awareness Weekend here just several weeks ago, and we raised $20,000. $20,000. That's going to help send three young men to Russia. It'll be helping us in our missions projects. Amen. Thank you. I agree with that. You know, different projects, but we need to be mission-minded. You know, many times what happens, and I love this one chapter in Warren's book. He says, we've got to make a choice. We're either going to be world-class Christians or we're going to be worldly Christians. And so often we're worldly Christians in the sense that we're so concerned about the world for me, my pleasure, my comfort. I would love to go to concerts. I love to go to conferences. I love to go to Bible studies. But it's all for me. And I want to make sure I remain comfortable. But you know, God is calling us to be world-class Christians, to be mission-minded. And I hope many of you will be thinking very seriously about going on a short-term mission trip. It's amazing how people's lives have been touched and changed just by going out of their own culture and stepping out there and realizing, wow, I can share my faith. And people's lives are impacted and touched. And then my last thought is this. Your caring also includes being culture concerned. When I say culture concerned, number one, our priority is sharing Christ with people. But you know something? We also live in a society around us where we need to be salt and light. When you think in terms of whole issues that we face issues like abortion, euthanasia. We face issues where Supreme Courts are making decisions. And listen, I'd say check out candidates that you vote for. Where do they stand on different issues? That's being culturally minded, sensitive. The whole issue of pornography over the internet and a variety of different things. Stand up, write your letters, be counted, because you're concerned about the world in which you live. And again, as you read books, I hope you will read this book by Chuck Colson, How Then Shall We Live? I think he does an outstanding job just to bring the whole gospel and then even into the point of how then do we live in this particular society. Well, who's going to go to heaven because you cared enough to dare to share your faith? Think about that. You know, we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. You know, worshiping Him, fellowshipping together in His presence, rejoicing in the new nature we have, serving the Lord. But we get one shot at sharing our faith with non-believers. And my hope and prayer is that as you think about this coming Easter, invite people to come to Easter services. Invite them to the 6:30 service, by the way. And, you know, but please do share with them, because we want people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When you think of a lot of excuses, I think a lot of us have excuses. I love what Rick Warren writes here in his book. He says, if you're not involved in any service or ministry or mission, what excuse have you been using? And then you look at the Bible and you say, well, God only, chose, these specific people. But listen to this. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. I like that. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. Timothy was timid. That's quite a variety of misfits. But God used each of them in His service. And He'll use you too if you stop making excuses. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You just for our time of sharing. And we realize, Lord, that You are an awesome God. You have a message, a fantastic message that You want the world to hear, to know, to understand. And Lord, You've called us to be Your witnesses. Lord, I pray that we may be a body of people that don't make excuses, that we're a body of people who want to lift You up. And we are a body of people that want to share the good news, because, Lord, we've experienced Your touch in our lives. Father, we thank You. We pray that we may be faithful to that call. And especially for this Easter, Lord, stir our hearts that we're going to be looking around us and saying, I want to invite people and people to come and hear the gospel. Thank You, Father. We give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.